Have a seat. Welcome back to another week with Salt Company. What's up, guys? My name is Daniel. I'm on staff here, and I am pumped. Guys, we're introducing a new series this evening. Come on. Hold on. But before we get into that, I need to know, because I was really chewing on this as I was getting ready. Does anybody really enjoy feeling stupid? Like when people just... You're kind of like the dumb one in the group, you know? Does anyone enjoy feeling that way? Because I don't. And if you're like me, I don't like feeling that way, which is convenient because tonight we're kicking off, like I said, a brand new series walking through the book of Proverbs for a few weeks. And Proverbs, if you haven't gone through it or studied it much, it's an Old Testament collection of sayings and advice, and it's like poems compiled and partially written by King Solomon, one of the Old Testament kings of Israel. And something we need to know about this book of Proverbs, is that it's classified as what's called wisdom literature. And the reason this is important is because it informs us of the reason why someone should read this book. Because the purpose isn't solely to gain some knowledge about who God is, even though that is a good goal. That's a good thing to do. That's a good purpose to strive for. However, the purpose isn't solely to gain knowledge about God. It's about growing in wisdom. It's about growing in wisdom. And the difference is, knowledge is knowing things. Wisdom is knowing how to apply that knowledge. Knowledge is knowing things, but wisdom is applying that knowledge. And so, our goal for looking at this book isn't just to learn some things about God, even though, again, phenomenal thing. We should read the Bible to learn more things about God. That's a good goal. But more specifically, our goal is to learn how to apply the things we're learning about him. And we're going to do this by looking at sort of the main character of a handful of Proverbs named Lady Wisdom. So just like take a second, picture, I don't know, like joy or sadness or anger from Inside Out. One of my favorite Disney Pixar movies. Disney Pixar? Separate companies, I think. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Picture like a caricature of an emotion. That's kind of what we're getting into. Lady Wisdom is the literal personification of God's wisdom. It's his wisdom manifested, embodied in this older womanly figure. And the truth that Lady Wisdom is trying to get us to see, the truth that we're going to keep coming back to, is that she's crying out, trying to get our attention, trying to get us to listen to her because she's trying to save our life. The problem is there's a lot of voices trying to get our attention. There's a lot of voices in society that claim to have wisdom. There's a million places we can go to find wisdom in society. And I'm sure you guys could even think of a handful of them right now. Like when you're thinking about like, man, what is wisdom in society? Well, it's live while you're young, right? Like college is the best 4 years of your life. Go crazy. Like live it up, have fun, deal with the consequences later. Try it before you buy it, right? You should sleep with your boyfriend or girlfriend before you get married because like how are you going to know if the sex is going to be any good? Society would call that wisdom. The Bible would call that foolishness. And so what we're getting at is there are a bunch of places you can go to find wisdom. David Goggins. I know some of you dudes in here watching David Goggins. Joe Rogan, Alex Cooper, Emma Chamberlain, Theo Vaughn. Theo Vaughn's a comedian, but people actually listen to him for wisdom. Don't clap for that. It's a bad source of wisdom. That's not good. Gosh dang it. Question is, where are you going to find your source of wisdom? Where are you going to find your source of wisdom? Because the reality is, where you're going to find this wisdom is significant. It's eternally significant. And the Bible teaches there is one true voice of wisdom, and we have to be able to find that voice because it's a matter of life and death. Yes, I am saying that if we don't find wisdom, we will face destruction. But praise God, this isn't some random voice that we're having to like find a needle in a haystack, pick it out of a sea of voices. The voice of Lady Wisdom is crying out, trying to get our attention already. So we're going to dive right on into it. If you want to open up your Bible, so Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 27 is where we're going to start. It says this, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called you and you refuse to listen, I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. So, like I said, we're diving into studying this character, Lady Wisdom, and we see that she's crying out in these city streets. And something we need to understand, even before we dive into this, is while she's, yes, the personification of God's wisdom, Lady Wisdom is not in and of herself God. It's an important distinction to make. It's a character being used to teach a lesson. And as she gets into the sort of speech she's giving, there's three groups of people that she lays out in the text, specifically in verse 22. So we've got the simple ones, the scoffers, and the fools who hate truth. And sort of breaking these down, the simple ones are the people who, they're oblivious to the voice of wisdom. They're naive. They only see what's right in front of them. They're the ones that get caught up in this life and never stop to consider eternity. These are the, I'll think about it later. I don't need to deal with that now kind of people. And maybe, I don't know, in your context, this looks like the person or the student who is caught up in their studies or living in, out the full college experience, who writes off considering Christianity, or if they're already a Christian, walking in devotion to Christ, because you'll get to it later, right? You can think about that when you're done with college. There's too many other things to focus on right now. And so I just want us to consider, is this you? When you hear wisdom's voice, do you brush it aside and saying, I'll just think about it later? Is this you? And in the next group, we have the scoffers. And these are the conceited and arrogant ones. These are the people that say, like, I know better than that. Like, that's silly. I'm not foolish. These are the ones that consider their own foolishness to be wisdom. And they actually delight in their arrogance. What scoffers lack in wisdom, they make up for in their determination to never fairly consider viewpoints outside of their own. This looks like the student who is either, one, the non-believer, who gloats that they know better than to believe in Christianity, but has never actually given it a fair shake. They've never actually stopped to consider Christianity, because what if they're wrong? But two, this is also the student who is a believer, but won't actually stop to consider the viewpoints of Christians who believe and worship differently than they do. These are the Christians that are really firm on secondary and tertiary doctrines that are built on some gray areas. These are the people that will just love to argue for hours and hours about how they have God's sovereignty figured out. Like, they understand predestination and election. No, you don't. No, you don't. You would fit into this category. Both kinds of students are either too arrogant or too afraid to fairly consider a differing opinion, because maybe they're wrong. And so again, I would ask, is this you? When you hear wisdom's voice, do you roll your eyes and call wisdom? Foolishness. Is this you? And then lastly, third group, we have the fools who hate truth. And this group is classified by their pride and their stubbornness. These are the ones who hate wisdom, not because that they think it's false necessarily, but because it doesn't agree with them. It goes against their own personal desires. This is the unbelieving student that says, Christianity's wrong because it doesn't let me do what I want to do. But this is also the believing student who won't listen to the wisdom from their disciples, their friends, or salt staff, or really anyone, because it goes against how they feel and what they want to do. And I want us to seriously consider this. Christians in the room, how many times have you decided to do what seems good in your own eyes despite knowing that God would have you do something different? But you went ahead and did what you wanted to do anyway. This is you. This is me too. This is all of us at one point or another. And sort of just to paint this picture and with, broader strokes, I want everyone to imagine for a second. Just close your eyes for a second. You're in Times Square, New York City, baby. Alicia Keys is singing. It's great. Concrete jungles, where dreams are made of. That song's before your time. Ignore that. You're in New York City. And there's billboards, there's people everywhere, there's cars, there's flashing lights, all the things. And you kind of, you're walking, you're about to cross the street, you kind of look to your left, you can open your eyes. There's Lady Wisdom, right? There's this old lady, you know, she's got darkish grayish hair. She's beautiful, but like in like an older regal way. And she's trying to get your attention, it seems like. Like she's like flapping her arms. It looks like she's mouthing stop, but you can't really tell what's going on. And depending on which category you would fit into would determine how you're going to respond to this woman. So the simple ones, they're just going to brush her off. It's another voice in the crowd. You know, there's a million voices, whatever. We'll think about it later. The scoffers will look back at her with a mixture of disdain and disgust. What a weirdo. Like, who's acting like that in public? Idiot. They're going to keep walking. The fools who hate truth, they will also look back with a mixture of disdain and disgust. Stop. Can't tell me what to do. I don't want to stop. They keep walking too. None of these three groups saw the car that was barreling down the road about to hit them. Listening and responding to the voice of wisdom is a matter of life and death. And like, you're probably, hopefully you're not going to get hit by a car. Like, I'm crossing my fingers, Lord willing, that's not going to happen to you. However, the voice of wisdom is crying out to you right now. She's trying to get your attention. She's trying to save you from disaster, saying, hey, watch out. Watch out. This way's better. Don't go that way. Please listen to me. There is destruction in front of you. And Salt Company, how long will we continue to live in our foolishness? The wisdom of God's word, the wisdom of people who care about you. It's crying out to you as a voice of reason to help guide you to the places that bring life. There are voices crying out to you, trying to bring you to places that bring life. God, his word, your Christian friends, Salt staff, trusted mentors, they're not trying to rob you of the good things. They're not trying to steal joy from your life. They're trying to save you from suffering. God uses his word and his people to be the voice of wisdom. And are you listening? Maybe God's using some of these peoples in ways to get you to see that you should probably reconsider your career path. Maybe God's using these peoples and these people in these ways to show you, like, hey, you probably need to reconsider the person you're dating. Maybe God's trying to get your attention, saying, hey, the way you need to take a look at the way you're spending your free time, because you're wasting it. Because Salt Company, the thing is, God loves you enough to tell you that you're being a fool. And if your friends love you enough, they will do the same thing. But are you going to listen, is the question. What will it take for you to turn back to wisdom, to turn to fearing the Lord, whether that's for the first time or for the 100th time? What is it going to take? Because Proverbs would promise you there is pain and suffering in front of you because of your foolishness. Christian or non-Christian alike, there is pain and suffering as a result of foolishness. And the voice of wisdom is crying out to you, trying to get your attention, but she will not cry out forever. This warning we're being given is temporary. There's going to come a time when you cannot turn back and you will be handed over to your foolishness. Let's keep going. We're going to jump back into the text. Verses 28 through 33. It says this, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. And I want this to land on us, because this is a pretty sobering passage, isn't it? When wisdom is rejected, she has no alternative plan for the fool. There's no counter option. In the time of crisis that follows our rejection of wisdom, the fool cannot expect to beg to receive wisdom after repeatedly ignoring her call. And this is again true for both the believer and the non-believer, because we all have this habit of being given wisdom and then ignoring it, hating knowledge, as this passage would say. And I know for me, I just think back. I was at a birthday party. I was pretty young. It was my buddy Oliver. We played T-ball together. And we're running around in his house, and we run through the living room. We get into the kitchen. We fly down the stairs. I just got tagged. My dad's like, hey, stop playing tag in the house. You're going to get hurt. Stop. I just got tagged. I'm in. So I'm running back downstairs. I'm flying down the stairs. I go around this support beam. We'll go with that. Support beam around the SpongeBob blow-up chair, and they go out the door. I'm chasing after them, and the door starts to close pretty quickly, but I didn't see it. And next thing I know, I'm hanging halfway out the door through the glass window. Literally, just like half inside the house, half out, blood everywhere, like shards of glass under my neck. If I fall, I'm dead. And you know what my, like, I don't know, 6-year-old self was thinking? I was like, I should have listened to my dad, you know? I should have listened to my dad. I genuinely can come and see, like, I have scars from this still. But the reality is, point of the story, I had no idea of the pain that was in front of me, but my dad did. He understood that the likelihood of me getting hurt was pretty high, but I ignored the voice of wisdom. When we choose foolishness over wisdom, we reap the rewards. It's hard to say. We reap the rewards of walking down that path. It leads to pain and destruction. And to be clear, just super specific, this isn't necessarily ultimate, right? The Christian is secure in Christ, even though they might still face the consequences of their foolishness, right? You're not losing your salvation because you're walking down this path of foolishness. And the non-believer, like all of us, must make a choice on which path they will walk. And the thing is, you have that choice as long as you're living. You can still make that choice, but make no mistake, the offer is temporary. There will come a time when that decision is taken away. And we actually see this illustrated in Mark chapter 10. There's a parable, right? And Jesus is explaining, there's two characters here. We have the rich young ruler and a man named Lazarus. And the rich young ruler, he lives in this mansion, we'll say. He lives in Happy Hollows. Yeah, he lives over there. And there's this guy, Lazarus, and he's sitting outside of the rich young ruler's gates. And he's watching him feast with his friends, and he's begging, like, hey, I saw you guys, like, didn't eat all the meat off that turkey leg. Like, can I please get some of it? And the rich young ruler's like, no, leave me alone. So both of these men die, as the story goes, and the rich young ruler ends up in hell, while Lazarus, it says, lives in paradise. And so the story goes that the rich young ruler cries out and is like, yo, what's the deal? And he starts talking with Abraham. And he's asking Abraham, like, would you please just go back and tell my family? Like, give him a heads up. I didn't know this was true. Like, I didn't know this was actually going to happen. Would you please just go and tell my family? Let them know, because I don't want them to end up in this story, to end up where I'm at. And what does Abraham say? He's like, you didn't know. You had the whole law and all of the prophets. You had the voice of wisdom. You had everything you needed. And the same is true for the rich young ruler's siblings. And the same is true for us today, even more so. Because we don't just have the complete law. We don't just have the complete account of the prophets. We have the entire Bible, all 66 books, the entire collection of God's wisdom given to us. The voice of wisdom crying out, begging us to pay attention. So we don't have this excuse, oh, I didn't know. Because the voice of wisdom has been crying out. We're really good at ignoring her. The beginning of wisdom is fearing the Lord. So which path are you on? There's a choice we have to make. And the truth that we can't miss is that the only reason The only reason we have this opportunity that we can make this choice in the first place, the choice to listen to the voice of wisdom, is because Jesus took the consequences of our foolishness on himself. He, the Son of God, perfectly embodied what it looks like to walk in the wisdom of the Lord, yet he still died the death of the fool, the death of the sinner, the death that should have been yours and mine. He took on the calamity that comes for the fool for the sake of everyone who would believe in him, for the sake of the foolish. And in taking on the calamity that comes to the fool, in doing so, he actually gives us, the foolish ones, his wisdom. And not in like some spiritual, like, you know, you have a new identity, which you do, but he literally gives you the Spirit of God, the entire wisdom of God. He gives it to everyone who would proclaim his name, who would bow their knee before him. Every single believer has been indwelled by the wisdom of God. This is why we can walk in wisdom, because if we have put our faith in Jesus, we have the Spirit of God in us, guiding us towards the path of God's wisdom, convicting us as we go astray in our sin and foolishness, and empowering us to not just acknowledge when we go astray, when we go down this foolish path, but empowers us to repent and turn back to God. Jesus didn't just die for the fool, as if that weren't enough. He died so that the fool didn't have to be foolish anymore. This is good news, because we can live in Christ's wisdom because Jesus died in our foolishness. We can live in Christ's wisdom because Jesus died for our foolishness. But the thing is, left to our own devices, none of us have the capacity to follow wisdom on our own. But we're given that opportunity because of the wise one, Jesus, who died in our place. And what's left now is to decide, are we going to receive this gift of salvation, or are we going to ignore the voice of wisdom? Will you continue in your foolishness or turn back towards wisdom? Because the reality is, we all have areas of foolishness that we need to turn from. So as we get ready to wrap up, I want to acknowledge, how do we apply this? How do we apply this knowledge? I want to zoom back in. Verses 32 and 33. We're going to take a look at them again. I say this: for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. So we're actually going to look at verse 33 first. This is the future. Excuse me, we're going to look at verse 32 first. This is the future of those who will ignore Christ. It's eternal destruction and disaster because you've ignored God who's been calling you to turn back to him. And the reality is, we don't talk about this very often. It's not a fun reality, because we enjoy the God who's love, and he is. We enjoy God's grace, and he's gracious, absolutely. We also serve a holy, righteous, and just God who will not tolerate sin. He refuses to be in the presence of imperfection because he himself is perfect, the complete embodiment of perfection. And we have to reconcile with the fact that the fool, the foolish path, the person who never repents and turns back towards Jesus, goes to hell. And that's a heavy truth that we have to wrestle with as Christians. But the thing is, it doesn't have to be that way. The voice of wisdom is still crying out, look at what we have to gain by listening to her. It's ease, peace, security. And this isn't to say that following God in wisdom promises prosperity in your life. That's not the case. Look at Jesus. Wisest person that ever walked face to the other, suffered immensely on a Roman cross. Wisdom is not necessarily going to lead to prosperity in your life. You will still see the effects of sin, both yours and other people's. But what this verse does promise is that by walking in godly wisdom, you can dwell securely and be at ease in the midst of that suffering. So super practical, how do we listen to wisdom? We first have to realize the ways where we haven't been. I want to look back at our three examples, the three categories that Lady Wisdom laid out in verse 22. Yeah. So we have the simple ones, the scoffers, and the fools. So I would encourage you guys, write these down. Which one of these categories are you living in? And for the Christians in the room, don't write this off, because it's very much so possible that you are in one of these categories as well. Because I know I am. Which category are you in? And then once you've acknowledged how you've been a fool, comes actually listening to and applying wisdom. And the key way we do this is through reading the Bible. And yes, I understand that is the Sunday school answer, and everyone's rolling their eyes right now. Read our Bible. Yeah, everyone says that. Everyone says that. Okay. Seriously. Seriously, if you want to hear the voice of wisdom, you have to read God's word. Because the source of wisdom, he's compiled his word. Everything he wants to say to you is marked down. Everything you need to know about who God is, who you are, how he wants you to live, how you can be reconciled to him. It's written down for you. And make no mistake, this isn't God's love letter written to you. That's not the purpose of the Bible, but it is an endless source of eternal wisdom that is eternally useful. This isn't just some good book that, you know, like the good Christians read. This isn't some book that used to be important but is obsolete now. It is the eternal word of God. And the heavens and the earth will pass away before a single letter of it does. Read your Bible and then apply it. This isn't just some, you know, vain answer we throw out to things as a good spiritual discipline. This is where we find wisdom. We have to know the word of God. And once you're reading the Bible, then you should supplement, not replace, but supplement your reading with community. Join a city group. We talk about it every week. Some of you are still in the city groups. Join a city group. Stop playing around. But seriously, you need to be in community because you need other Christian voices, wise Christian voices, speaking into your life. Listen to pastors and theologians and people who've been walking with the Lord for some time. And like, yes, caveat, everything, every bit of wisdom that you are given should be tested against the word of God. If there's contradiction, it's not wisdom, ignore it. Run away, throw it away. But if it is, even if it, you know, it kind of rubs against your own theology that you've built up, even, you know, when it rubs against like what you want to do, because, you know, imagine that God's leading you in a different direction than where you want to go. You know, who would think he would do that? Even when you don't want to listen to this, ask yourself why. If the word of God isn't contradicting it, it's probably wisdom. And you should consider applying this. And again, just like reading your Bible, you can't just read the words. You can't just listen to what these people are saying. You actually have to do something with it. It has to be applied. There isn't much point to being discipled by someone if you're not going to actually implement what they're saying. There's no point, right? If you're going to have counsel in your life, which you should, listen to them. Apply what they're saying. And if you aren't a believer in the room, thank you for being here, seriously. But I would ask you also, which of these categories are you in? Have you truthfully considered the good news that Jesus, the Son of God, lived the perfect life for you, died in your place, rose again, and is now offering you a reconciled relationship to God the Father? Have you actually taken the time to consider this truth? I would encourage you to do so. Challenge yourself, as believers should as well, to consider a viewpoint that's different from yours. I get it's a scary thing, the prospect that you might be wrong about something, especially something on a core level. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't actually consider it. It's intellectual laziness. So the reality is this. I saw a company with all of the voices crying out, trying to get your attention. All of the people clamoring that you would listen to them. Everything that calls itself wisdom. Find Lady Wisdom's voice and listen to her. Because it's a matter of life or death. Let's pray. King Jesus, I just want to thank you for your grace poured out for us on the cross. It's just, it's hitting me how in 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking about how this reconciliation, this act of mercy that you have displayed for us by sending your son to die on the cross, that seems foolish to the rest of the world, yet you're using the foolish things to shame the wisdom of the world. Because your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. You are above. You are holy. You are perfect. And the reality is that we're not. We have a tendency to walk down this path of foolishness. But Lord, in your mercy, you don't leave us there. You don't leave us there. So God, convict our hearts through your Spirit. Through your Spirit of wisdom, would you indwell in us? Show us who you are. Show us your path of righteousness. Show us how to follow you. In Jesus' name.